be sitting in the princes. This has been, I got up late this morning because I just didn't wake. I got up 20 minutes late. So I get to the spa, to the Baylor, and I do the swimming and everything. When I get to the spa, I get locked in the elevator.
How do you get locked in the elevator?
The doors wouldn't open. I don't know what happened. So I go in, and then I do the swimming, and then I'm in the shower. And I turn the shower off, and it keeps going round and round and round, and the steaming hot water comes out. And then the airborne Carolyn's magic stuff doesn't work because I developed a terrible cold. I think I should go to bed.
Between the strikes.
I think so.
Now you know how I feel all the time.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 13, we studied yesterday. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? The straight is a word, it means what it says, straight, but it also is used to mean balanced or set in order. And so the whole idea from because of the curse, no matter what happens, except for brief moments in time, we think something isn't in order. It's not in the hand of God, right? We think that something is happening that God didn't and wasn't the author of. And that it cannot be made. I mean, crooked is a word that just means perverted. That which is perverted cannot be made straight. That which is, it's not possible. It's talking about you, I, everything else.
It can't be fixed.
And then in verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And prosperity there, it's that word just meaning told. It means just what something that you think is good. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now, it means really what it's saying is that there is no difference between something that you think is good and something that you think has adversity. It is absolutely no difference from the standpoint of your true identity, which is your position in Christ. It is not even to be given breath. Now, when you go through the Talmud about it, there's all kinds of things about in the day of adversity. And the word for is Gehinnon. Three things annul adversity. This because there had to be, even in the Talmud, even with the even among the most incredible scholars in the Talmud, they can't accept. They have to figure out a way that adversity has a cause and effect.
Did you say three things annul?
Annul adversity, and the three things that annul adversity are prayer, repentance, and charity or mikvahs. And so, but even what it's saying is, no matter how spiritual you think you are, adversity will always cause you to return to cause and effect, that you think something has to be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? You think there's something wrong, something has to be done, instead of the simple resting in God, the simple resting in Him. We've got to take action. We got to pray, we've got to repent further, we've got to do this, we've got to do something. Now, there's an interesting reference to this one. So let's go to Job 13.
I mean, my response to that list is that
it's what always
you know,
is.
It's like when you pray, repent, and give charity, you have forgotten there is any adversity. It's the kind of stuff that you do when there isn't any adversity.
Oh, I know.
So it's like absorbs it or something.
This is right after Job is answering his idiot friends. And so it's really the whole of chapter 13, and we're just going to look at that. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I know. I am not inferior to you. And he's responding because they're telling him all the reasons that he is in adversity. You understand? And so he's responding, I know all that. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. And it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully in his name? Will you accept his person? Will you contend for God? It is good that he should search you out. Or as one man mocketh another, do you so mock him? He will surely reprove you. If you do secretly accept persons, shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes and your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, he'll just be what he is. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost, or I shall die. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer. Or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and mine sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue thy dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. The point of it is, it doesn't... The predicate of this, though he slay me, where is that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust only in him. It's the same as when Moses said, kill me instead of them. Now, the only way that's going to happen, and the only way you're going to know that, the only way you're not going to feel victimized is when you're tested in that area. So, what is it? In the day of adversity, consider. What do you consider? Let's go back to see what it is. Chapter 7. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. They're equal. It doesn't matter. Okay?
What's after him?
After he goes. After.
Yeah, this. I think that's a weird translation. It means.
Adversity seems to trigger man's nature. And like when there's adversity, your response is out of your own nature to, oh, you're pissed, you're by victim. And it's food for repentance because you see.
Remember that. What if I'm right? What if that prayer that we've made, all these years, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. Because greater is in he that is in me than he that is in you. What if the only purpose of time and space is to see whether there's anything that will take you off the mercy seat?
That would be a big trick, wouldn't it? A trick from God.
That's what it means with stammering lips. He's mocking us to see because we always end up making ourselves the subject of the sentence. And we're not. Does that communicate? Do you really believe it? What? Something's going on, Mr. Buckner. You're the only Mr. Buckner in the room.
He's looking around. It's all right. I couldn't follow your gaze. I thought I was looking right back. I saw her taking it.
So you're sure you're sure.
Is that underwear?
I lost my shirt.
I don't think anybody wears
these
V-neck t-shirts.
I thought I'd get away with it.
Over Juliet Fowler, though.
No, you're deflecting my question.
Work on me. I really see how same thing I just said, basically. I can feel my nature in this for what it is and what it wants to do and what it wants to preeminate.
And it has to be, you know, this has to happen. It has to be, you have to understand it. That, and it doesn't matter how big or how little the adversity is.
Yeah, it's more important.
Right, that's why the trial of faith is more precious than gold. Faith is as common as, but the trial of faith is what's more precious than gold.
If you're without chastening, you're a bastard.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do they?
Can I go ahead and ask questions?
Sure.
Are you saying that in adversity, that he wants us to just sit back and trust and have faith and not take action or do anything?
That's right. Because he set one over against the other. Well, that just means they're the same.
Find nothing after. Yeah.
Is your life hid with Christ on the mercy seat or is something, can something happen to gain your attention? Now, I promise you, I don't care how religious you are, how many times you've studied the Bible, how many times, whatever. The thing you will want to do always is to avoid adversity. Remember, we are created to move towards pleasure, towards good, and away from pain, away from adversity. That's been our lot. That's what we do. That's the nature of the beast. And it's not dumb. But from God's standpoint, in your prosperity or in the good that you think is good, you rejoice.
This reminds me of
in the day of adversity, consider. What are you going to consider? You consider the how-tos of getting out of adversity? To consider the how-tos of what to do? No. You consider that he has set one over against the other because there's nothing after you. And you have to be in that place where you confess the Lord Jesus Christ. To confess him doesn't mean to say that he exists. To confess him it's homologio. It means to speak the same thing. But in order to speak the same thing, you've had to hear the same thing. In order to hear the same thing, you've had to see the same thing. So this takes it out of the realm of an add-on to your life. It because you can't add this on. You can't. It's not possible. You have to see that there is another thing going on, that you really are simply a vessel. And the more the vessel is broken, the more that which it contains will be for his purpose. It's not so that you can blah, blah, or do this or that. It's just for him. We are always a sweet savor of Christ, both in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of life unto life. Unto the other, the savor of death unto the death. And who is sufficient for these things? So the savor, what the savor looks like, has nothing to do with it. We are a sweet savor of Christ unto God because of him, because of Christ.
This reminds me of Peter saying, oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to go to Jerusalem and let you get killed. And Christ's response is, get thee behind me, Satan, not your wrong ear. And in the garden, when he pulls the sword out and cuts the guard's ear off, and Christ pushes him back and heals the guy that's going to arrest him. I mean, it's pretty clear.
You know, if this isn't the gospel, then we got a lot of work to do. We have
more than you can imagine.
It's either finished, or I better get busy.
And so I remember in Romans, to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So as long as you think some action is required, something is needed to do, then whatever it is, even the act of thinking it causes you to be in debt.
Plus, the idea that you can fix it is a lie.
Well, it's just it. Because adversity and prosperity are the same thing. Do you really see? I mean, this is big. This is the definition of life.
Yeah, when he says my yoke is easy and my burden is light, it's because he's carrying it, he's done it, it's over with. What do we have to carry?
Nothing. Every parable, every aspect of the law reveals that. This is why the one thing, Solomon, who was the wisest person in the history of the world, said there's one thing I don't understand, the ashes of the red heifer. How could the ashes, first of all, she had to be a female. What did that have to do with anything? Second of all, she had to have, if you touched a dead body, you had to be cleansed with the ashes of a red heifer. If you had the leprosy, you had to be cleansed with the ashes of the red heifer. The ashes of the red heifer had to come from the first red heifer. In other words, there have only been seven red heifers. Some say nine, but I believe seven. There had only been seven red heifers. And they had to be burned completely. The red heifer had to be facing, not away. She had to be facing west, not east, where things are going to get better. She could never have had even the weight of a napkin on her. Well, it's obvious. The red heifer is his people, us.
You don't get ashes from a heifer that's alive.
And it's what is expected to happen. This is why the mystery, this is why the prosperity gospel is so incredibly evil. This is why saying gain is godliness is the antithesis of the gospel. Because every one of us believes that gain is godliness. That's all our mind can do. We are convinced that we are blessed when things go the way we think they should. Everybody understand?
Well, is it that gain is godliness, or is it the opposite?
Lack is ungodliness. They're both sides of they're both the same. It's just one coin. It's like pride and shyness are the same thing.
But gain is godliness, and adversity is godliness.
Right. But he's the author to see whether there's anything will take you off the mercy seat. To see if anything will take you away from his life. If you ever think that there's something that's going on with you.
Yeah, and they all have the same potential. Great gain will take you off the mercy seat.
Great, and great affliction.
And great adversity will take you off real quick.
Just like that.
Yeah, so if you don't see the object of both...
That's why that phrase, one is set, consider, one is set over against the other, because you can take nothing with you after you go.
Yeah. We've been reading Job for...
Almost as long as we've been studying Ecclesiastes?
Oh. And the thing I saw a couple weeks ago was that Job isn't... His friends are saying that God is your adversary. God is attacking you because of something you've done. And Job is saying, no, God operates in mercy. And that's not what's going on.
Yeah, and it does
saying,
because...
I don't know why this is happening, but it's not because God is my adversary.
Right. It's because of something that we cannot comprehend. But we know that we must be with him, that continue with him in his tests, not in ours.
We don't understand the idea of being put to the test for the purpose of improving. We don't understand that adversity is a blessing. It's a gift. We don't, because we believe the prosperity gospel.
Sure. Every person that is ever born believes a prosperity gospel in one way or another.
Believes or hopes that it's true.
All right. So again, to summarize it, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. There's a just man that perish in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Now, that's going to take us a minute or two to talk about, so... we won't. This is a good place to stop. In the day of prosperity, or what you think is good, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. They're both equal, the same thing.
That wacky preacher guy.
Everybody understand? No. I mean, I'm not talking about understanding with your mind. I'm just talking about understanding with your heart, so that you something is real.
Follow with the how adversity can bring about more growth, a change that. Oh, I know you say it's not growth, but no, an understanding though of sometimes the things that illness, you know, things that happen. It does sort of hit you in the face, reality.
Because it's common to all men. That's why when you want to find something that's really valuable, go to the place where everyone is gone. Everyone. And that's the funeral. You don't go to find something that's valuable where everybody else is, you know, where the crowd is going at the moment. You go where everybody goes. And the only place where everybody goes is the grave. There's only two theologies, the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. And all thought systems and all philosophies and all religions are one of the two. The theology of glory is that I'm going to gain something from affliction. Can you see that? Because it really is saying that gain is godliness. The theology of the cross says, I have no idea what's going on, but I know it's from you. Because I've seen it over and over and over and over. And finally got through my thick skull that really this is nothing, that I'm a vessel for this mystery. That's the best I can be. So it can't have anything to do with learning, because then God would not be just, because there are some people that can't learn.
You know, it has to do with rest. The whole thing is you're on the mercy seat at rest. All kinds of stuff is happening here, there, and everywhere, but you're not invested in it. Your life is not in it. Your life is a whole other place, not even related to it.
It's a big, big deal. Can you glory in affliction the same as you glory in adversity?
Yeah, Paul's comments.
I mean, can you...
Commentary on this, you know, when he said that.
Yeah.
You only glory if you see. You can't fake the...
That can't be faked. This is why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, God, you know, all of them. But it isn't fruits of. There's only one fruit. And it has the fruit of the Spirit is Jesus Christ. That's his only fruit of the Spirit. That's his life. And he doesn't separate this is love and this is this and this is this. That's just a way of describing a mystery. And so the fruit of it can't be a gain to your understanding even.
Prosperity or the adversity exists to reveal the usurper, that I'm still in the position of judging for myself good and evil.
Right. That's you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. Kudos. Blessing to Rabbi Kevin.
All right.
First blessing coming down in
all. Oh, since Bob said it over and over.
No, the
greatest hits.
Focus on our resume.
Kevin's greatest hits.
The fruit of eating the fruit. Remember, it was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But it's all subjective. It's what you think is good. That's why the world is turned upside down. I mean, everything is turned upside down. I mean, that's why the scriptures are so clear that the ones that don't believe call good evil and evil good.
It's almost as if all these scriptures are tied together.
No.
Some kind of Da Vinci Code.
No.
Has anybody else ever thought about that?
The invisible thread.
Yeah, it was a bunch of those effing Jews got together and wrote this.
Now you've
done blessings on them.
No clapping for you.
What's wrong, sugar kids?
Yeah. I'm not editing these anymore.
I want that one of yours for my iPod.
What?
His comment, I want to get a clip of that, put it on my iPod so I can listen to it.
While you're at it, I want the one where I was brilliant.
When?
That was a couple
was
weeks ago. First time I've ever said those words.
Was it Tuesday?
So love God and have fun.
Amen.
Okay. All right, take a big guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hang up. Do we need to meet?